Welcome to The Positive Teacher, a podcast that offers hope and encouragement for today's Christian educators. Whether you teach high school, middle school, or elementary, whether you teach in a large urban public school or a small private Christian school, or work with a youth group or Sunday school class, this podcast is for you. In each episode, you'll find powerful scriptures as we learn together from the Master Teacher, Jesus Christ. You'll hear encouraging stories and be inspired with great ideas from top teachers and experts around the U.S. I'm Jackie Matthews. Thanks for listening in. Since it's the beginning of the school year, I want to talk about starting the year right and starting the year setting ourselves up for success. You know, we spend a lot of time getting our students set up for success. We spend a lot of time putting together our classrooms and our programs and our classroom rules and procedures and making things such that our children are set up for success. But I want to talk about you and your heart today. And so I have a very important question for you. What's the foundation for your classroom? Interesting question. Is it an educational theory? Maybe somebody that you read a lot about and admired when you were in teacher training school. Maybe it's another teacher and you really admire the way she or he does things. And so they're kind of your prototype for how you want to do it. But my question is much deeper than that. What is the foundation of your classroom and your career? I hope your answer is Jesus Christ. I believe that being a teacher is a calling. And I believe the master teacher, Jesus Christ himself, is the one who called us into teaching. I believe it's an incredibly holy profession. And I believe that you and I are exactly where we are, not because of chance or coincidence or luck or whatever, but we are exactly where we are because the Lord has called us to be there. So today we're going to talk about starting the year with the right foundation. And maybe you're a new teacher, or maybe you've been at this for 20 or 30 or 35 years. But it is always good. I like to always be tweaking and always be working to get better. So today, as I promised, we'll always start off with scripture. So today's scripture is from Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. So let me ask you again, what's the foundation of your classroom? The foundation of my classroom has always been Jesus Christ, his word, his teachings, his example. Although he lived 2,000 years ago, his message has not changed. It's a message of love. It's a message of hope. It's a message of forgiveness, of reconciliation, of grace, of mercy. His mercy is new every morning. And I don't know about you, but I need it because I'm a sinner. I need a Savior, and I need Jesus Christ with me every single day. You see, I think that the job of teaching is getting more challenging every year. We've got the high-stakes tests. Our schools are being graded by how our kids do on the tests and how we administer the tests. I was talking to some teachers here in Texas recently, and you know, we can lose our license here in Texas if we do not administer our high-stakes tests correctly, if we, you know, just make a mistake. That's pretty scary. We're dealing with trauma babies on a daily basis. We're seeing more and more of that. We're seeing problems in our families, and all of that comes right into the classroom. We're seeing kids with all kinds of needs, hunger, homelessness, all kinds of trauma. And all of those things add in before we even have a chance to open up our books and start the curriculum for the day. So the job of teaching is extremely hard, and yet it is extremely important. In fact, I would argue that it is one of the most important professions on the planet. Why? Because you're spending every day pouring yourself into the life of a child. And maybe that child is 5, or maybe that child is 18. But that person is greatly influenced by you, the teacher. And so if we're going to be the kind of teachers God is calling us to do, we've got to start with the right foundation. Let's think about this. Here, I've got a story I'd like to share with you. Imagine God wakes you up in the middle of the night, and he invites you to join him on a journey, traveling to the farthest, most remote place on earth to share his love and the reality of who he is with citizens who live there. Those dear people are lost. They're drowning in a sea of confusion, misery, and hopelessness. They're looking for truth. They're looking for meaning and for purpose for their life. But they have no idea where to find it. God's ear is turned to them. He hears their anguished cries, and his heart is moved in mercy. He alone is the answer they're looking for. But he chooses to work his miracles through the lives of frail human beings, people like you and me. His eyes begin searching throughout the whole world, looking for someone whose heart is turned to him. He's looking for someone he can trust. He's not looking for the perfect or the powerful. He is the perfect one. He is the most powerful one. His eyes turn to you because he knows your heart. He's heard your prayers that your life would be a blessing to others, that you would make a difference in other people's lives. He chooses you for the most important assignment because he knows he can trust you with his most sacred creation, children. You, dear teacher, have been called by God himself. You're a teacher. You're a missionary, bringing his love and his truth to your students. The classroom is your mission field. There's a spiritual darkness that is growing on our campuses and throughout our nation. You've seen it, and so have I. All we have to do is turn on the TV or pick up a newspaper. But you, dear educator, who loves Jesus Christ, you are light and you are salt. The darker the night, the brighter the light shines. I read recently in an article that we are finding that the darker the school environment, the more open students, parents, and staff are to the things of God. Isn't that interesting? That was said by a Christian principal, and he said it anonymously. But he's noticing that on his campus, the darker our world gets, the more kids are hungry for light. You and I are called to be salt and light, and that's what we are. We hear from missionaries in third world nations that people are coming to the Lord in numbers like never before. I don't know if you're reading up what's going on in the Middle East, but millions are coming to Christ. And in China and in North Korea and places where it cannot be reported or the people who are there could be killed, but they are coming to Christ in the millions. So here's an interesting question. Could the Lord be interested in doing that same thing here in the United States? Could it be possible that the classroom is our new mission field? So maybe we don't need to go to the ends of the world to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Maybe we do it where we work every single day. Teachers have incredible influence over their kids. If you're an elementary teacher over the course of your career, you'll easily teach over 1,000 students. If you teach middle school or high school, and so you see the kids one period a day, you could easily influence close to 7,000 students. At the dinner table, you're one of the most talked about people in their life. What you think is really important to your students. I often hear from new teachers that they had no idea what a powerful influence that they have in their students' lives. And that if they started talking about some music that they liked or a sports team that they liked, all of a sudden their students were following the same music or sports team. I remember falling in love with jazz music because my high school band director, Mr. Galley, loved jazz music. And I hadn't even really heard about it before, but because of his influence, I started loving jazz music too. So I don't know where you're teaching. Maybe you're teaching in a public school. Maybe you teach in a public school that's in the Bible Belt and you have a Christian pastor and everything is hunky-dory. But maybe you are like I was teaching in the Pacific Northwest in the two most unchurched counties in America where being a Christian was a very unpopular thing. And a lot of principals did not like Christian teachers and they let them know it. They made it pretty uncomfortable for people up there. And so maybe you're saying, gosh, Jackie, I can't be a witness for Jesus Christ because I teach in a school, a public school or a charter school, and we're not allowed to talk about that. And I'm fine with that. But I want you to know that you don't have to say a word. You do not have to evangelize. In fact, we're not allowed to evangelize, and we're going to talk about our legal rights as Christian teachers in the public school system a lot. But I'm not calling and asking you to evangelize. What I am saying is that you can't divorce your Christian identity with your profession. We can't leave it in the car. It just doesn't work that way. If you're truly a Christian, it's in your DNA and it's who you are 24/7. We belong to Jesus Christ. Therefore, we are salt and light wherever we go, just by living the authentic Christian life, just by the way we choose to behave, how we choose to use our time, talent, and treasure, the words we choose to use, the words we don't choose to use, the way we conduct ourselves with others. All of that points to our personal relationship with Jesus Christ. We are salt and light. Now is the time, dear Christian teacher, to stop feeling powerless or feeling that you're without hope. It's like, oh, my principal is really anti-Christian, so I have to really hide that part of myself. No. Legally, no. Morally, no. In fact, I don't think you can. I believe that God is calling us to rise up. I believe that God is calling us to put on the full armor of God as we go into our classrooms. I believe our kids need it. I don't care if you're teaching kindergarten, fifth grade, middle school, high school AP courses. Your kids, and you know this, your kids need what Jesus Christ has to offer. So as we start our this school year and our foundation is in Jesus Christ, what does that look like? Well, for me, it meant at the beginning of the school year, going into my classroom, getting on my knees and asking God to be the king of my classroom, asking him to fill every square inch of that room with his presence. I asked him that his anointing would be on me as I taught. I asked for his energy, his love. See, my love is small. My love is conditional. God's love is pure and unfailing. That's what the Bible tells us. I needed his love to love all of my kids, right? We've got some kids that are easy to love. They're just dream kids for a teacher. But we have some other kids that just know how to push our buttons. And they will push and they will push and they will push. We have some kids that are just, let's be honest, just tough to love. We want to love them, and yet it's just so difficult. Our broken kids. And guess what? We're all broken, aren't we? Every single one of us is broken. And so for all of our kids, we need Christ's love, which is bigger than our own. I needed God's wisdom. James 1:5 tells me, if you lack it, wisdom, ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault. So I'm always asking God for wisdom, wisdom and discernment. What's going on here? How do I best reach this kid? Okay, this lesson isn't working. How do I tweak it? What can I be doing differently to help this student? I pray for energy. I pray for joy. And then I go to each and every desk and I pray over that student's desk before they ever arrive, praying again for anointing, wisdom, discernment, that they will make great friends in my classroom and have good, positive relationships, that my classroom will bond together quickly, loving each other, caring for each other, helping each other. When one is down, the other will help pick them up. That the words spoken in my classroom and among the students, wherever they are in the building, PE, recess, lunchtime, whatever, the words spoken by all of us will be pure and God-honoring, and nothing spoken, nothing, no word said in my classroom or anywhere on our campus would be dishonoring to God. I know that sounds like a miracle, but guess what? Our God is a miracle-making God. He said, nothing is impossible for me, and I believe it. I pray for their safety, their physical, all of our physical safety, spiritual safety, mental safety, emotional safety, right? Because sometimes the most painful stuff is not the stuff that hurts us physically. It's the stuff that hurts us spiritually, that hurts our hearts. I ask for God to be present in that classroom all year long. And you know what's really cool? I will have people who are not believers walk into my classroom and say, gosh, there's just a really beautiful spirit in here. And I say, yep, I know what it is. And you know what it is. And maybe someday soon that they will know what it is as well. I'd like you to approach this podcast as if we are dear friends. We're just sitting with a cup of coffee in our favorite coffee house, and you're sharing your heart with me, and I'm sharing mine with you. We're going over things that are challenging. If there's heartbreaking things, we're talking about that. If there's wonderful, joyous things, we're celebrating those. You're with somebody who cares about you. You're in a place where you're not going to be judged, and whatever you're feeling, I have probably felt too. and will not be judging you, but will be just loving you and walking alongside you. Teaching is a really difficult profession. Like I've said a million times, it is a holy profession, and I believe that there is a calling on our life to be teachers. So as you start this school year, I encourage you to start your foundation right before your kids show up. And if your kids have already shown up, maybe you started in early August. I know some of the districts did. It's never too late to start over and say, Father, okay, we're a week into the school year or 2 weeks into the school year, but please, I'm stopping now. Please be the foundation of my classroom. Because the storms are going to come. You know that. I know that. Our kids have storms. They have things they're going to go on this year that are going to break our hearts. But with Christ as our foundation, we can successfully get through the storms and guide our students through the storms of life. Why? Because Jesus Christ is our foundation, and He is the all-powerful, all-knowing, all-seeing, all-present God. Thanks for listening in today. I hope that it was a blessing to you. Please know that I'm praying for you. And remember, you plus God are an unbeatable team.